If Father Schulteis and I are faithful to the ministry, we will make sure that we remind you that one day the Lord Jesus will come again with great power to judge both the living and the dead. So we are to remind ourselves, really, of this important fact, this meta-historical fact, which hasn't happened yet, but it will, as the Lord has declared. And so we are making ourselves ready for the coming of Christ, who will come again in great power. Now, how do we make ourselves ready? For this is something that will be a cataclysmic event that will change up all the categories of understanding that we have now. One is to stay focused on Christ, not to be distracted by the things of the world, but to stay focused on Christ. And the Lord Jesus, when he speaks about his second coming, he says, "In that day, there will be the hearts of many men failing them for fear, for looking upon the things of the earth." Why are their hearts breaking? Why are they having heart attacks? Because they're looking at the things on the earth. Their empires are crumbling. But he says to his disciples, "But when that happens, then look up and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh." So if we're focused on Christ, when he comes again, we can look up with rejoicing hearts because our Savior has come. So the challenge is, how do we keep our eyes on Christ? How do we disregard the things of the earth? How do we not make them idols that absorb our attention? I love the story of my brother, who when he was about 8 or 9 years old, was invited by his teacher to participate in an experiment. She wanted to show the kids how they could develop an economy. So she partnered with other teachers in the pod, and they created a marketplace in the middle of the classrooms. And they made on the duplicator machine a currency, was a fiat currency called Luckies. And the Luckies could be exchanged for goods and services. And so the kids were to come up with some idea that they might have, something they might want to sell. Some kids were selling marble collection, or they might sell baseball cards. My brother, he settled on selling Rice Krispie treats for a set number of Luckies. And he became very successful in this new economy. He got all into the business. My dad gave him an old briefcase, so he'd come to school with a briefcase full of Rice Krispie treats. He would set up his shop. He would sell them. He would gather Luckies, put those in the briefcase, and come home. And he did it over and over. He became very wealthy in this new economy. He wasn't so much focused on the spending of those Luckies. He was focused on the accumulation of those Luckies. And he didn't heed the warning that came very gently at first, but then with some insistence from the teacher, who said, "Kids, 4 more days, then the market's over." Then there were 3 days, and there were 2 days. He was still raking it in. He was in business. He didn't pay attention. And he finally came, the market closed, and the teachers put everything away. And he came to school with a briefcase full of Rice Krispie treats for market day, and the market had been swept away. It was just the plain old pod, like it had been before. Before all the action and all that was gone. And he still tells the story today with a bit of disappointment in his eyes about how things dramatically changed. And he had a fistful of Luckies that were worth nothing. Well, we can get ready for the same kind of thing. We are invested in so many things right now that have much to do with the world, but don't have much to do with God. Perhaps there are means to an end, but if we look at our heart, perhaps we've made these things the end and not the means to an end. And instead of seeing Christ as the end of all these things, we're focused on the things themselves. Well, these are idols that must be smashed. We have to sweep them away so our hearts don't break at the coming of the Lord. And how do we, in the Anglican way, stay focused on Jesus and upon his imminent return? For he will come at a time that no man knows. We have to be ready at every moment because we don't know the moment, says C.S. Lewis. Because we do not know the moment, we should be ready at every moment. And if anybody says they know, right, they're a false prophet, because Jesus himself told us that no man knows the time of his coming. And so we must be ready at every moment, right? The master will come back. So we have to be ready. Maybe it's in the morning time, maybe in the noon time, maybe in the evening time. Maybe at midnight, maybe at the cock crowing in the early morning. No man knows. So, like a good servant, we should be ready for the coming of our master whenever he may come. How do we do that in the Anglican way? We have a certain method. And what is that method? Well, it has to do with daily, weekly, and annual reminders, right? These reminders, hey, don't forget, this is all going to close down. This market's going to close. This economy is going to shut down. There's going to be an end to these things. We remember that when we say morning prayer, for example. In the opening sentences of morning prayer, the beginning canticle, we praise God for the strength of our salvation. It's a compilation of Psalm 95 and 96. And we remember, we proclaim, that Christ will come again in these words, for he cometh to judge the world. The Lord will come, for he cometh to judge the world and judge the earth and the peoples with his truth. We remember it that way. In Evensong, we remember when we say the Apostles' Creed. We restate the article of faith, and he will come again to judge both the quick and the dead. So day by day, morning and night, we're remembering the call that, hey, don't set your affection on things of the earth, but set your love, your affection on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is coming. Make your heart ready for the King. Every week, we gather together and are faithful to that witness when we say together the Nicene Creed. Again, we articulate that article of faith that we believe he shall come again with great glory to judge the quick and the dead. What is this based on? It's based on the Lord's patient instruction, his own declaration of truth. At his judgment before the court of Caiaphas, he said, "And ye shall see the King, you shall see the Son of Man come with great power and glory in the clouds of heaven." We see it very patiently in the Lord's instructions, in his parables, when he speaks about the wise virgins as compared to those who were not wise. 5 of the 10 were wise, 5 were foolish. The ones who were foolish did not have their lamps ready, and so they went out to buy oil for their lamps, but that's when the bridegroom came. He went in to the wedding feast. The 5 that were wise that had their lamps ready, they came in with, and then the door was shut. We remember his instruction to us as he speaks about there will be an end to these things, then there will be the coming of the age, the coming age. We see it in the testimony of the angels at the time of the ascension of Christ, because they say to the apostles who are looking up in wonder after the ascension of Christ, they say to them, "Why are you waiting? The same Jesus will come as he has ascended, so in like manner he will descend." So they are to wait until that day. The church is still waiting for that day. We have the patient testimony of the apostles proclaiming the same truth, that the Lord will come in a great and powerful moment at the end of time, and that we are to prepare our hearts. So we hear it through the year in the instructions and the patient Bible reading that unfolds as we read the Bible and pray every day, reminding ourselves of the fact of his coming again. And finally, we see it in a most splendid way in the hymns, the Bible lessons, the preaching, and the teaching of Advent. When we neglect the carnivalesque celebration of Christmas for a moment in the hyper-consumerism of our age, and we come into the solemnity of this liturgical space and remember that Jesus will come again. So, let us remember that fact. Let us prepare our hearts. Let us repent of those things which are not of love. This is no time to hold grudges, no time to hold hatreds. It's no time to hold unrepented sin. We are to prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight in this season. Let us with repentant hearts make ready for the coming of the King, for Jesus will indeed come at the end of time, at a time that no man knows, in a great and cataclysmic day, will come again to judge. Let us on that day look up and rejoice.